Good morning. It's good to be with you again, beloved. It's always a joy to be with God's people, to be able to share in the things of the Lord. Most importantly, to be gathered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and to exalt his name together as we did this morning. These are trying times, won't you say, beloved? Real trying times in which we are living. And I believe that the Lord wants to encourage us from his word. Because there's a tendency to give up, to get frustrated. We see this in the world. And we need to understand that our God is still in control. When I was a kid, we used to sing in Sunday school, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials distress us and burdens oppress us, he never will leave us alone. Having said that, beloved, let's read from the book of Exodus in chapter 14. There we have some discouraged people. Discouraged. And because of their discouragement, they are complaining. Verse 11 of Exodus chapter 14. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did to tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. What a thing for them to say. We didn't want to leave. We were content to serve the Egyptians. And yet God said, I have seen the afflictions of my people. I have heard of their cry. I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. So they were complaining. They were groaning. Yet they said to Moses, because things are not going the way they think they should go, we wanted to stay. How soon we forget, beloved, all of God's past mercies. How soon we forget, as soon as a little trial comes into our lives, we start having a pity party. Oh, why is all this happening to me? Why hasn't the Lord delivered me? Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? And all this complaining, all this worry, and all this exercise in futility by fearing and complaining, Moses comes up with the answer. Stand still. Stand still. Whatever the circumstances are, beloved, whatever situations you and I are passing through, we cannot gain the victory in and of ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves. We need once again to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding in some of your ways, in most of your ways. No, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Recognize that the God who delivered you in the past is the same God who will deliver you today and will deliver you tomorrow. Trust him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We do more harm and we make the situations worse just by complaining, just by looking within ourselves, and just by looking around to blame others for our situation, for our problems. The Lord had delivered them with a mighty hand out of Egypt. He showed great signs and wonders. And when it became too much for Pharaoh, he says, let the people go. Let them go. It was God, because Pharaoh had no intention of letting them go. Who is God, he said, that I should obey him? Who is God that I should let Israel go? But he soon found out. He said, let them go, let them go. And they're on their way, and Pharaoh had a change of heart. He said, what have I done? What have we done? We have sent the Israelites away. We have sent away all the cheap labor, all the free labor. What have we done? Let's go and get them back. And they started to pursue Israel. And then they panic again. Isn't that just like us? We forget. Remember that time when we worried and God delivered us? Remember that time way back then when all hope was gone and we looked to the Lord and he delivered us? Now we're having a problem and we forget. You know, the Bible says to you and me, beloved, in the New Testament, there hath no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. God who knows all things, God who understands all things, and God who can do all things, he will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but also will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. They saw the Egyptians behind them, the sea before them. There was no place to go, and they panicked. You say, you should have left us in Egypt. Well, we get saved, you know. We think all our troubles are going to go away. And soon we come up with problems, and problems beset us, and the world looks good again. And we want to go back into the world, because that's what Egypt is. Egypt is a type of the world. We want to go back, we want to stay, because things are not working out. There is a solution, beloved. We might grow weary. We might be cumbered about with worry and fear. But the answer to our problem is to let go and let God. Stand still. Stand still. I know there's a time when we must stand up. The Bible tells us to stand up. We must stand up for principles. There's a time when we must stand fast and resist. But there's a time, beloved, when we need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Time to cease our useless activities, trying to solve the problems on our own, trying to come up with solutions because we've been trusting the Lord and nothing's happening, so we think. And suddenly, the voice of the Lord comes, the message of the Lord comes, stand still. And all these mountainous problems, all these great problems that we think we cannot solve, the Lord is saying to them, look at them today, look at the mountains, look at all that's happening, look at them today because tomorrow they will be gone. Israel, look at the Egyptians. Take a good look. Fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians, the enemy, the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Oh, there's coming a day, beloved, and the Lord shall destroy all our enemies. There's coming a day, beloved, if we really trust the Lord, we will see his hand in the victory, his hand in the deliverance. And if you are like me, you come to the place after the Lord delivered you and say, why was I worried about that? I don't know how many times I had to say that. Why was I worried about that? Because I have experienced the hand of the Lord in the victory so many times, in deliverance, and here a little problem comes up and I'm frustrated. And then the Lord solves the problem. Why was I worried? Another children's hymn we used to sing was, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting farmer, rest fully on his promise. Why worry? Worry when you can pray. There's a classic example. When the people of God had to stand still, had to trust the Lord, not only in this instance, but after this, trust the Lord because the battle, whatever it is we are going through, the battle is the Lord. Second Chronicles, Jehoshaphat facing an enemy, outnumbered, very hostile, and he worried. But he prays to the Lord. Let me just highlight who those enemies were. And see if you can recognize them. And see, sometimes we do things and we say, well, it doesn't affect anybody else. Oh, it's going to be over with. So let me just highlight who these enemies were that they were up against. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. Now behold, verse 10, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Do we understand who these people were who were causing Judah all this concern and all this worry? Well, they're descendants of Lot. Consequences down through the years. Descendants of Esau, who had vowed he was going to kill his brother, and he never took it back. Here they are again. Amnon and Moab and Mount Seir. Causing all sorts of problems. And we know there are others like the other descendants of Esau, like Amalek. They cause a lot of problems for Jacob's descendants. Let's use verse 15 for connection because it's important. And he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, same language we have there in Exodus. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. And behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. And set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will deliver you. That's the source of our power. That's where the victory comes from. Salvation is of the Lord. Deliverance comes from Him. Tomorrow, the Lord will deliver you. It might look very cloudy today, beloved. The hymn writer says, behind that frowning providence, God hides a smiling face. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Fear not. Fear not. And that's why we want to encourage the people of God. You like me, beloved, we know what's happening. We can see what's around us, all the worry, all the frustration. And it seems that everything is crumbling under us, or around us, rather. As the psalmist says, the foundations of this world, all the foundations of this world are out of course. It seems that the world is adrift. It seems that the world is ripe for something, that things cannot continue as they are. There is no need to throw up our hands and to give up, because our salvation, our deliverance comes from the Lord. Stand still. Stand still. The time to stand still, the time to get away from worrying, the time of taking extreme measures to solve our problems. Let us cease and look to the Lord. When Samuel was about to anoint Saul king over Israel, what was he occupied with? He was worried about finding these donkeys. Where were these donkeys? I can't find them. And worrying about things, small things, the same as you and I, worrying about small things. I can't find these donkeys. I have to find them. My father is worried about them. 1 Samuel in chapter 9. And while we worry about small things, the Lord has big things for us, bigger and better things. And so Samuel said to Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, the Lord has bigger and better things for you, Saul. And as they were going down to the, verse 27, to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show you the word of God. We are so obsessed and we are so taken up with small things, things around us, that we fail to take the time to see God's word, God's salvation, God's deliverance, because we're too preoccupied with things, temporal things. Worries that, problems that will go away. We miss the big picture. God has bigger and better things for you, so stop worrying about the donkeys. They will be found. As a matter of fact, they have already been found. Now you listen and hear, see the word. Stand still. Stand still. It's when we worry, beloved. It's when we become anxious. It's when we become so frustrated and we don't know what to do, and we start looking within ourselves or looking at our leaders for solutions. And all the while, the solution is with the Lord. Paul is in his epistle to the Philippians, and bear in mind that Paul was a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner. And he wasn't worried, why am I here? Why am I not free? Are the people of God praying for me? No, he would write in Philippians chapter 4, to the Philippians says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, that we could get a grasp of this, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, making our requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look beyond today. Look beyond our immediate circumstances. Look to the Lord, as the psalmist says, from whom cometh our help? Our help comes from the Lord. Stand still. Maybe there's some of God's people who needs to be encouraged today because of situations that have come your way, because of problems that will affect you now and in the future. Well, the future is in His hand. And God knew all along these things that we are passing through will happen. He knew it. There's a song that says, don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there. Already there. He knows the end from the beginning. Let us trust Him, beloved. Let us remember when He first delivered us. Let us remember all the victories that He has given us. And let us trust Him in the big things as well. Not only the small things, but in the big things. Be anxious for nothing. Stand still. The Lord Jesus calls us to a place of rest, a place of peaceful rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Yet we are worried, yet we are like the sea, being tossed to and fro, yet we become so anxious. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Himself as He gathered the disciples, part of the discourse there, one of the greatest, or maybe the greatest message ever given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And among other things, He called on the disciples to be calm. He called on the disciples to stand still, to get rid of their anxiety. This we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is saying, He said to them, and He's saying to us today, therefore, verse 31, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or, what shall we drink? Or, with what shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. This is a very important part of the verse, beloved. We need to bear in mind. For your heavenly Father knoweth. You think you know of your need more than God knows? Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the things you worry about, the things you complain about, the things that are important, all these things shall be added unto you. Be therefore not anxious. You know, this doesn't say that we should not be diligent, because the Lord has given us wisdom, He's given us understanding, He's given us things to do. Moses then said to the cherub, now you lie down here and they'll just run over you. No, he didn't say that. He was saying that the Lord is going to fight your battles. The Lord is going to deliver you. He wasn't saying there was no problem. He was saying to give your problems to the Lord. That's the difference. Be anxious. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow. You know, as we worry about things that will happen, things of tomorrow, and we can't change them. We can't change them. So why don't we just give them to the Lord, since we can do nothing about them, and tomorrow we find out that there was no need really to worry, because the Lord is always there. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. I think we have a problem if we're going to worry about tomorrow today, and tomorrow the problem still comes. So we're doubling up and we're compounding our problems, because we worry about the problems tomorrow today, and tomorrow those problems are coming still. And then we find out that we shouldn't have worried. Take your burdens to the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Be not anxious. Be not worried. Stand still. Cease from your exercise and futility. You cannot solve them. But God is able. He is able. And He is the great problem solver. Let us understand that things are going to happen, because we are living in exciting, at an exciting time, beloved. We are seeing the scripture fulfilled in our time. We're seeing the unfolding of God's purpose. We're seeing the things that the Lord talked about, the things the apostles spoke about. We're seeing them in our time. And at this point in time, beloved, you and I need to look for now. Is our salvation nearer than when we first believed? Our salvation, to wit, the redemption of our body, is nearer than when we first believed. And all signs are pointing to heaven, beloved. I don't know what you see, but that's what I believe. All signs pointing to heaven. Stand still. Let God work out His purpose. Stand still and see the word of God fulfilled. That's what Samuel said. Stand still. I will show you the word of God. God's plans, God's purpose in these days in which we live. Worrying about problems are not unique to you and me, beloved. Even the psalmist, they worry. There are times when David was afraid, and another time when he says, I will trust the Lord and not be afraid. But there are times when he was afraid, but he trusts the Lord. Time when the other psalmist also had problems and worried. For instance, let's turn to Psalm 42 and see if we can be encouraged by what the psalmist says. Because we all need encouragement. We're not saying things are smooth and and this is a worry-free life, we're saying that we have one who is greater than our problems. The Egyptians whom you see today, you will see again no more tomorrow. So here's the psalmist. Verse 3 of Psalm 42, my tears have been my food. Man, they've been crying a lot. Day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? Where is your God? This God you trusted, this God you say will deliver you, this God you say will solve all your problems, where is he? Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Beloved, deliverance is coming. Deliverance is coming. That's verse 5. Verse 10 says, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. You think that happened to Israel? I will yet praise him. After all the complaining, after all the blaming of Moses bringing them out of Egypt, you think they would ever praise God? Yes, not long after that. They saw the sea open and they got over on the other side. And what did they do? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. It was a song of deliverance. It was a song of redemption. They saw Israel drown in the Red Sea. Not Israel. They saw Pharaoh and his army swallowed up by the Red Sea. And they sang, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee among the gods? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. I will yet praise him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's what it says, 43 and 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. When tomorrow comes, beloved, and the enemy is no more, the problems are solved, then we will sing. Sing praises to the Lord, the one who has given us the victory. Another psalm warns us, just 37 and 1. Because sometimes we have a problem here. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. This goes beyond just worrying. This goes just beyond just complaining. This speaks of irritation, vexation, and being annoyed. We don't like what's happening. We get irritated. Fret. Nothing can be more destructive to our joy and our peace as irritation. Vexation, that's a strong word. And being annoyed. Fret not thyself. What's the solution? Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4. Delight thyself in the Lord. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Trust him. Delight in him. Commit thy way to him. Rest in him. Psalm 46 and verse 10 is a verse that we all know. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still. Be not anxious. Stop the worrying and the fretting. Trust in the Lord. That's what the Lord said to Martha as she complained about Mary. The Lord says, you are anxious about many things. Stop the worry. Stop the anxiety. You are anxious about many things. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What's that good part? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians that you see today, see them coming on their chariots, see them in hot pursuit. Tomorrow, you will see them no more. Because the battle is the Lord's, and he will fight for you. Isn't that encouraging, beloved? Isn't that encouraging? I can't win, I can't change a lot of things. But the battle is the Lord's. If we let him, if we allow him, he would fight for us and he will give us the victory. Because at the end of the day, beloved, our help comes from the Lord, not from our fellow man. For vain is the help of man. Vain. But our help comes from the Lord. Be still. Be still. Many a night before I move here, we used to listen to a program. Brother Ned would know this one. From the family radio. And I'd just turn my radio on at night. And this program would come on, and then it would sing, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Wait patiently. Don't be anxious. Stand still, beloved. Let us see. See God at work. See the salvation of the Lord." God bless his word. Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for the privilege of remembering our Lord Jesus Christ in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. We thank thee for thy word, for the entrance of thy word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. And whatsoever written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Oh, may we stand still. May we cease our anxiety, our worry, and our fear, and to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. We thank thee for bringing us together. Now as we part the one from the other, watch over us and take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. And may each one of us this week experience the salvation, the deliverance of our Lord. We pray and give thanks in his matchless name.